The Murph sent you.
Keith Murphy.
This is your time.
And he fails.
Hey, where's the bar? Let's have some drinks here. See what's going on with Brian Allen.
It's the Murph and Andy Show.
Shoots a three. And
powered by AD.
We wear caps and sleeves at this level, son.
On 1460.
KXNO.
And now 106.3 FM.
Keith Murphy, Andy Fails, powered up by Andrew Downs. Andy, I've got a great tip from Kurt on the on these bird bombings that we're dealing with.
Okay.
Clay bar. You used a clay bar?
Yes, I have. That's labor intensive. You're not going to want any part of that.
How do you know?
You're going to have no interest because I know you really, really well. Better than almost anybody.
Is it a cleaning thing?
Jeez. Yeah. Well, no. I mean, it is a way to get your car really, really clean. It works really well. So, but you got to wash your car thoroughly first.
Okay, I can thoroughly. Do that. I can do that.
Then you have a spray bottle of water.
A spray. And, he said spritz. Spritz
and,
it first.
And then yep. A little clay bar.
Okay.
So you spray your car with you spritz it with water, and then you rub the clay bar. Uh-huh. Carefully over the surface of the paint, and it picks up the little tiny little pieces that, you know, little grit and stuff that the car wash didn't. Now you do this to your entire car.
Every square inch?
All of it.
Let's get to the 2 p.m. trend.
Trending Iowa, powered by Axis, providing treatment to children and families living with autism, developmental disabilities, and behavioral needs.
Trending Iowa, the Iowa men finished 12th at the NCAA Track and Field Championships over the weekend, the best finish for the program since 1967. The Iowa State men finished 33rd. On the women's side, the Hawkeyes were 26th.
It seems like Iowa State, Iowa, and Drake Track had better than usual teams this year. There was more attention paid to this than I can recall.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that's good. That's the Iowa track. That's Joey Woody, right?
It is. Yeah. Yep.
Good. No. Cool.
Trending Iowa, the High School Baseball Coaches Association rankings this week have Johnston on top with Dowling at 3, Ankeny 5th, Waukee 7th, and Urbandale 10th. We've got a top 10 matchup on the air tonight as Waukee hosts Johnston at 7:00.
Doubleheader, single game?
We will pick up game 2 of the doubleheader. It is a doubleheader. I think it starts at 5:30 that Trent Condon will be on the call.
Now, is it Johnston or Waukee that has the pitcher that Tommy Burch just did feature on? That's Waukee.
Yes.
Any idea if he's pitching on either side of that doubleheader today?
I do not know, but I'm
you know,
sure.
Trent Condon, know, show yeah. researcher for all shows. He'll know. So those teams, Johnston 1, Waukee 7?
Yes, yep, according to the Coaches Association.
All right.
And finally, trending out with this week's weather will be the same as last week's weather. Hot and dry conditions expected to continue, albeit with less humidity. There is a slight chance for rain Thursday night, but not enough to cure the drought conditions that persist across the state.
I heard from one of our farmer friends today, Gilly. He was just saying they need yeah. the rain in the worst way.
I saw
a WHO 13 story that came across here. I don't know that it's water. It's not water rationing at this point, but residents are being asked to use water your yards sparingly.
Yeah, Dave Price said. Yeah, they asked to reduce it by 25% because of the continued drought.
Yeah, so. I've got more of this coming up here and more, okay. But what they're doing to start off is they're asking that you only water every other day and that everybody take Mondays off. Now, you know, for the most part,
like the eye cups.
Nobody's going to do this right now, but, you know, you are fighting an endless uphill battle trying to save your lawn at this point. I mean, you're just flushing money down the toilet. You just are down the sewer or into the ground. I mean, you're not going to save your lawn without just constantly watering it with an irrigation system right now. I mean, it's going to go dormant. It's not going to die, and it'll come back. We get rain later in the summer. It'll come back. But this just stinks. This is usually not the time where we have to worry about this. Usually June, you get plenty of rain, and it's really nice and green and lush, and, you know, things are still really fresh, and it's a beautiful month. But it's been so dry that everything's just my lawn is real crunchy right now. I mean, it's crunchy, and I have tried to water it, and the in the evenings and the early morning. But the other day I was just like, okay, this is stupid. Water the plants that you've got in your landscape beds and just forget the lawn for now. This is just too much.
And my son, Kate in Scottsdale,
I don't have any lawns.
115 today is the high. Expected high tomorrow is 118. So
that does not matter if that's a dry heat.
No,
that's 118.
It feels
degrees.
Like a brick oven when you're walking around like in that kind of
heat.
It's
like a searing hot.
It is. And he thought he was prepared. Oh yeah, I know it gets really hot in Arizona. No, I mean it gets really hot.
It gets so. And it's June. You wait till August. And the funny thing is, I remember I spent like a week in Tucson one summer, and everybody's got a white car. And they've all got tinted windows, and you know they put those sunshades up when they park in a parking lot.
The thing
that
unfolds and goes in front of your steering wheel.
They all do that. You run your air conditioner full blast the whole time, and you're still hot. Because the pavement is baking in 120 degrees.
Yeah. You step onto some pavement without shoes or flip-flops you have to go to the hospital.
You'll burn your
feet.
You will burn your feet. Yeah, I mean, they make things different colors down there just because it's that bad.
Jeez.
Yeah, I feel better about our weather.
Yeah, yeah, it's not that hot. Give me 90 degrees all day long.
You're welcome.
That's it for Trending Iowa, powered by Axis.
Murph and Andy show here. It is 2:11 p.m. on a Monday. Denmark infielder, you probably saw this at some point or heard about it, Christian Eriksen. He, according to team doctors, died on the field and was brought back to life.
Play is going to be halted again, and this does look serious. Well, Christian Eriksen, in some distress by the look of things.
Well, players knew straight away that was a heavy fall.
Well, you can tell immediately, can't you, from players' body language?
Yes. I didn't see this live. I wasn't watching. I first became aware of it when the complaint started on social media of people feeling like the coverage was showing too much, that they went to the paddles and the defibrillator and resuscitated
him. CPR on the field there. And the players kind of made a wall trying to block it, but you could see between their legs. And ESPN has been criticized for it, because that was what that audio was from. But they've said they weren't using their cameras. They were using like a feed, an international feed. And
right.
So they didn't really have any, other than just cutting back to the studio or something, they didn't really have any control. They have apologized for showing as much of it as they had, though, because
they probably should have cut back to studio. But that's a tough call to make in the moment.
Because it's in full view of a soccer stadium. I mean, this isn't, you're not going on a private property to find something. This isn't a game. This is happening in front of a live audience. And you're also just trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, right. Your mind doesn't jump to he might be dead.
And it ends up being a heroic life-saving measure. Eriksen is still in a hospital in stable condition. Don't know the recovery is going to be, but the team doctor said he was dead.
What exactly is happening to him here as he's falling forward? Is
I think he has the Hank Gathers cardiac arrest.
Oh, he's having a heart attack. He's fallen down.
They said like a heart moment or something is how they classify it.
Yeah, because clearly there's something wrong with him as he just starts running forward. Maybe he's trying to catch himself, but his momentum carries him forward. The ball actually hits him.
And it's been 30 years, I think it was 1990, when Hank Gathers collapsed and died on the court. And
they're trying to clear his mouth out like he swallowed his tongue.
Eriksen or Gathers?
Eriksen.
I haven't watched the video of any of this close up, so I didn't realize that. But that makes sense. I have seen when he goes down, and it's not exactly the same, but for those who remember, Hank Gathers just starts to, he just collapses basically, and he died. And Eriksen clearly would have died if they didn't have these life-saving measures the capability, which is now at any sporting event, but was not there when Hank Gathers collapsed. They didn't have it, or there's a good chance they could have saved his life.
Yeah, they got this stuff all over the place. There's been, you know, a national push, like worldwide push, to just have this kind of stuff basically in just everywhere. Workplaces, yeah. Schools, definitely any gym where there's any kind of exercise equipment going on. They just got it everywhere.
It's expensive.
And then they try to just train regular people here and there just to get as many of these out into the population as possible that know how to operate this equipment. And then they have these really like rudimentary instructions for how to use the equipment on the pieces themselves, just in case there's nobody around that knows how to use it. At least you have some chance of somebody else being able to pick that up, learn it really quickly, and then use it on somebody. Because anything can make a difference.
But not sure how many
stories on this.
Yeah, how many years ago it was that Jamie Pollard had a heart issue at, and I think he was at. It seems to me like it was a UNI track and field event.
That sounds right.
But there was this kind of life saving equipment there, and Jamie was real. That was a real scare. I mean, that was bad.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's your heart.
Yeah,
and people die of this kind of stuff all the time, and you hear all sorts of stories of somebody that was, you know, if they had been, you know, 20 yards farther away from the hospital, they'd have died. Or if, you know, if your older brother has this condition and he had a heart attack, and so you go and get checked out to see if you have that same condition. Sometimes it's like a hernia, you know, a real thin wall in your heart. You don't realize it's genetic, and it's, you know, you go in and you find out you got it too. They give you, my brother-in-law had this exact same thing happen. His older brother had this condition, had this heart attack, almost died. So my brother-in-law went in just to get checked to see if he had the same condition. He did. Mm. They did emergency open heart surgery right then. Like dropped everything else. Yeah. Gave that to him, and who knows, may have completely saved his life. But yeah, it's something to be taken seriously, because you could snuff out in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, and somebody like Pollard, who's a runner and in good shape and takes good care
really
of himself,
good shape, yep.
It's a reminder that some of these issues you can't just exercise away.
No.
You have to do some other things. You have to be aware of it.
It's something that it's a weakness
scary.
In your own, that organ.
And you sit like Christian Eriksen. I mean, who's in better shape than a world-class infielder on a soccer team? I mean, the fitness conditioning is not the problem here when a guy goes down like that, but hopefully he'll continue to improve. They did resume this game.
It's crazy.
Like 90 minutes later, and they did. I know they first got a call from the hospital that he was alive and in some kind of stable condition, but there has been some loud complaining by players, understandably, on his team that they shouldn't have to go back out there and play. The people stayed in the stadium and waited.
It's really hard to watch because it's a serious situation and the cameras are just trained on it.
And you now see eyes, like, like lifeless eyes.
Something's seriously wrong and they're trying to save this man's life and the cameras are zooming in on it as far as they can, which seems totally heartless now. And, like, there's no way they should have done that. But I guess you just kind of have to put yourself in the moment and think that, you know, at any moment he's going to roll over and sit up and be fine. Everybody's going to see that he's fine. That'll make everybody feel better. So you're glad you had the camera on him?
Him surviving this, as it appears he will, that helps this network decision greatly. If he dies during this, is like the top talking point in the world today of the media intrusion of this guy's death. Because, again, I didn't see this.
There's a Skycam video, a shot of it from directly overhead.
And when I heard they keep cutting to his, like, crying wife and stuff like that. And I'm reading the accounts of this. I didn't see it. Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO on 106.3 FM. Don't know, AD, Andy, if you had a chance to see this, but Cyclone Equipment released the helmet change for this year, the Iowa State helmets, and whatever whatever color they're going to be, black, white,
black.
Cardinal. They're different. They're, yeah, there's
black,
gonna be,
matte black.
There's going to be some different
really
helmets.
Satin really black, dark gray.
And again, as J.B. Pollard said on this show, what does it take to keep Matt Campbell? We'd like to wear black uniforms. Done.
Yep.
Okay, sure. Fine. Where the black uniforms stay. I think most fans have more than made peace for that, and some fans love it. But this change on the helmets, it's really well done. It's the Jack Trice stripes, and right there where there used to be the I State, which is already on the side of the helmet, this is it just fits perfectly right there at the beginning of the helmet. It looks cool.
Yeah.
It'll be seen constantly. You don't need another I State there. This is a good move. I mean, I think they should keep the patch somewhere on the jersey too, but putting this on the helmet is great.
It's really slick.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm trying to find it right now.
It's a cool look, and the historical significance of it just makes it all that much cooler. It's not just kind of a little cool logo. It's got this great history behind it. Like, as a Hawkeye fan, I'm jealous of that logo because, like, that's the tattoo you get if you're a Cyclone fan. It's, you know, subtle, but clear what it is, and
it's the front of the helmet.
It's really cool.
This logo, the Trice stripes era, wasn't just his jersey, but from that era, and now with the history of it, which got a lot of attention in the last couple of years, and should the story behind it. I believe he's Jack Trice the only black American with a stadium named after him?
I believe that's right.
I think that's right. Football stadium.
Yes.
Certainly there are Jackie Robinson college football stadium. But that the story has gotten a lot of attention. So to have this, like when Chris Williams wears his Trice stripes hat in, you always say, man, that's a cool looking hat.
I got one of those hats. As a Hawkeye fan, I got one of those Trice stripes hats from Cyclone Fanatic just because, I think this logo is really, really cool.
It is. So it's a good move. Whoever's idea that was, whoever put that there, props to you. Well done. I think Iowa State, if they're not already doing this, and it appears they are, they should create a whole merchandising section around those stripes in everything from hats to shirts. It's just really
cool.
They've
got shirts.
Goes well on everything.
It's pretty plain.
It's just like five stripes.
Kind of in a point.
Like the jerseys of that time. We'll come back with more, including today's stupid criminal.
Keep experience.
Fairway Online Shopping. That's right. Add her coming soon to your local Fairway. You can now shop online for curbside pickup at your local Fairway. Visit shop.fairway.com to send us your order today. We can't wait.
Things come together.
It's time for Murph and Andy's Play of the Day.
He's put up a high ball. It should be put away. And it is. And it is a 19th major title for the world number one. His second here at Roland Garros. He becomes only the second man to win all four slams at least twice in the Open era. And he closes the gap on Roger and Rafa in that compelling race to be proclaimed the very best of all time.
On 1460 AM and 106.3 FM, this is KXNO.
It's awesome, baby!
I still like to see some of these peak tennis players now, like, play with the wooden rackets of the 70s. Just see how different the game would look if you gave
just
them
those really little metal rackets.
Or just wooden. Give them the old Borg. Yeah. Remember when Borg wouldn't switch for a while, but he couldn't keep up. He's out there trying to play with a wooden racket against these graphite rackets, and he finally had to give in to it.
He finally did, and I remember those rackets. I remember because kids played tennis back then. I mean, they wanted to be these guys, but they were so small. It was almost like a compared to today's racket, it looked like a badminton racket almost. And then all of a sudden, those Prince rackets came out. They were just huge.
It's part of his whole collection there.
Prince tennis.
Oh, Prince tennis. Did you see 70s Sports, one of our favorite guys, favorite follows, when he showed the old Superstars competition, and Bjorn Borg is one of the guys in there, and he's running against Pele and Sugar Ray Leonard and the
unbelievable
Bjorn Borg Bjorn Borg, Sugar Ray Leonard, and Pele are smoked in the 60-yard dash by Wayne Gretzky.
Wow.
They are all competing in that? Can you imagine even trying to get those
four of the greatest of all
four
time?
Four of their magnitude together in one place today.
You could only do it in a boxing ring.
You could never do it. Yeah, it would have to be
fighting a YouTuber.
By the way, who would the four be? It'd be like, all right, we're going to get Tiger Woods and Roger Federer and Serena Williams and there's not a baseball player.
I mean,
LeBron.
LeBron James.
And Usain Bolt. And Michael Phelps. And it would be, I mean, the biggest stars in their respective sports.
Pele, Sugar Ray Leonard.
It would be like Cristiano Ronaldo.
Gretzky and Borg. You
know, Messi or something.
And the thing it did for me, though, because these are four great athletes. Now, Pele, I don't know what the year was, but it's at least late 70s, early 80s. So he's past
his prime.
Yeah, he's past his prime.
He's playing World Cups in the 50s.
But I think it says something for Gretzky on the ice that he smokes these guys. Like, that he clearly skate fast.
Sounds like he'd have been the youngest one.
All right, let's get some more.
Okay. More is brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, and as we said a little while ago, the drought is getting bad. River's getting so low, especially the Raccoon River. It's getting so low, it's threatening our drinking water supply at this point. It is so low. When's the last time you guys have driven over the Raccoon?
It's been a while.
It looks like a trickle going across a parking lot.
Yeah, the creek behind our house is basically not a creek anymore.
Somebody's emptied their cooler on a parking lot, and the stream of water looks like the Raccoon River.
The drought is getting so bad in parts of the west of the United States, western part of the United States. I was watching NBC Nightly News last night, and some of it was heartbreaking watching these animals struggle just, you know, trying to find water. It's hard to watch that. And then there's, you know, they're also showing riverbanks just, you know, rivers dried up and fish just, you know, lying there dead.
Well, and we don't realize it here. Water rights are a huge story in Arizona and Colorado and Nevada and California. You know, who has the rights to how much water from which river? Here it's crazy. So often we have floods, and we're talking about the very opposite. You know, who has to handle, you know, who can build their levee up higher than the others, therefore threatening people downstream, becomes a big issue, like over in Hamburg, Iowa, when we had that big flood a couple of years ago. And over there, they will do anything just for a little bit more water to come to them. It's this giant regional news story that never stops. It's just an ongoing issue. It's almost like gun rights or something. I mean, it's a huge story. But over here, there is no equivalent.
Is the water concerns, have they even reached Ames?
For a glass of water when you visit our town, crack a smile,
drink it down,
it's the cleanest around. The water's so great that it won awards.
Many cultures live together without any wars.
Hooray! We love it in the city of Ames.
That woman is singing that as hard as she can. She's really trying to sell it. I mean, if this hits Ames, all hope is lost. She's putting the vibrato on the end of that.
Yeah. Is it that bad yet? Ames water's okay.
The skunk is, I'm sure the skunk is getting a little less skunky.
I love their water so great, and it comes from the skunk
the
river.
The skunk river. Yeah, jeez. The Des Moines City Council tonight returns to in-person meetings for the first time in over a year. Among the things that they will be doing tonight is approving nearly $1 million for the demolition of the buildings on the old Dyco site. Will be the first physical progress that most of us have ever seen on this primo piece of realty over here, real estate over here, where these decrepit old buildings have just been standing there rusting for generations. DMAC hopes to resume online classes tomorrow. In-person classes resumed last Wednesday. They had a cyber attack.
Jeez, these are happening
everywhere. The housing market in Des Moines is great.
You should write a song.
It is. So 3 years ago, the median list price for homes on the market was $148,000. They were selling fast, too. Only 49 days on average on the market. Today, still spending an average of 49 days on the market, but the median price is $180,000.
That's a nice bump.
It is a nice bump. Rest in peace, Ned Beatty. Famous for things other than getting sodomized by a toothless hillbilly in Deliverance.
He was, that is what he's most famous
for. He was
for.
Many other roles.
Rudy's
they
dad.
They just kept playing that over and over again this morning, though. Just one shot of Deliverance after another. How much did he regret taking that role?
I wonder, because it's a great movie.
It's a great movie that is
and he's,
only really known for that one scene. I mean, and really.
And he's great in it.
I've seen the whole movie several times. It's known for two things. Just Ned Beatty getting plowed by that hillbilly, and then the inbred kid doing dueling banjos.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say, Burt Reynolds just at the height of his macho.
Burt Reynolds
macho.
May as well not even be in the movie. You have to, like, cue that thing up to realize that not only is he in it, he's the main guy.
Yeah.
He's the star.
Yeah. He's the guy
they have a mustache.
As it all starts to fall apart, they all look to him to, keep him alive.
It is a good movie, but you remember those two scenes, and those are two of the most memorable scenes, I feel like, in American film history. I mean, people just immediately remember those scenes.
Yeah,
because it's so shocking when that first happens to him. You remember the first time you saw Ned Beatty, that happened to Ned Beatty in Deliverance.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
so disturbed by that.
And which is the point of it.
Yeah, but it's like it's more disturbing than they probably realized it was going to be.
And he plays it so well. I mean, he makes you understand how awful that would be, how violated you would feel, all of it. He's great in it. And the kid with the dueling banjo, I read about that recently where, the expert that came in, how they had to do the shot to, wrap the arms around to create the appearance that the kid is playing
that
the banjo.
He was playing that?
But it looks real.
The kid didn't play that?
No, no.
But they did find a kid that looked like that?
Yes.
Did they arrest his parents?
Not sure.
I don't know if that kid was, if that was shot in West Virginia or was supposed to be in West Virginia.
It's supposed to be Georgia.
Okay, well, that whole region of the country has never lived that down. That movie, I mean, all of Appalachia, whatever. I mean, that has not lived that movie down. It probably won't until that movie is so old and out of date that it is forgotten.
I've got the song running through my head right now.
Yeah. It's great. It's great music. It's this beautiful country,
yeah.
Beautiful scenery.
So you remember
an inbred kid.
Yep, playing the banjo.
And a hillbilly rapist. My God. Two of the worst things that you could be remembered for. It's a contract hit on this region of the country.
It really is.
Oh my God, it's just a joke that people just pull out over and over and over again. Jeez. Okay. So he, as you said, he was Rudy's dad, though.
Yeah.
Ned Beatty did a lot of things.
And just playing Rudy's dad with like 10 or 12 kids at the home is actually fewer kids than Rudy's dad had in real life.
Rudy's dad in real life. Oh, man.
Just lived in bed.
Just was just playing with live ammo. for a long time. And then, of course, Ned Beatty also played Dean Martin in Back to School.
As Calvin Coolidge once said, the business of America is business. And the business of an educational institution such as ours is to create young minds that understand that the business of America is the kind of business that it actually is. So, whatever it is that I have said here today, the point is that we are here to honor our most generous benefactor and newest freshman, the man who's made it possible for us to break ground here today, Mr. Thornton Mellon.
All he did was give a bunch of money. They built a building and he got into school.
And the cutaway to Dangerfield's reaction shot of, so whatever it is I've said here today,
I have no idea what you said. It just got me. All right, it's time for Tell Me Something Good.
Tell me something good.
Okay, so cars are living longer than ever before. The average age of vehicles on the road in the United States now has topped 12 years old for the first time ever, according to IHS Market, a research firm that delivers annual reports on the age of cars on the road in the U.S. The report reflects a continuation of a long-running trend of vehicles staying on the road longer, illustrating the increased durability, but also reflecting their higher value. The average used vehicle price in May was $20,426, up 4.9% from April and up 46.7% from a year earlier.
Jeez.
That is tough market. If you're selling a used car right now, you're getting top dollar for that. The problem is you got to buy another car, probably, unless you're just going to retire it altogether. Let's say you've just had enough. That's it. I don't need a car anymore. Then you're doing really, really well. It's like selling a house right now. You're going to get top dollar for your house, but then you got to find another place to live.
Yeah, you don't have to buy another house.
If you're just selling, these are good times.
It is a seller's market. Problem is most sellers are also buyers. Barry Bonds and his sister Cheryl Dugan entered a miniature schnauzer named Rocky in the Westminster Kennel Club dog show held over the weekend.
Any chance this miniature schnauzer had just put on 10 pounds of muscle?
Has a huge head.
He did well enough to get to Westminster, which means it was one of the best miniature schnauzers in the country.
He bit one of the media members after the show.
Yeah, right. We won because we got here. That's all that matters, Bonds told Fox Sports. The dog's name is Rocky. Rocky did not come out victorious in his breed, but to Bonds, it didn't matter. He said, I've been to a lot of playoffs, and I've been to the World Series, and I've never won.
Yep.
But for 22 years, I kept trying. A Pekingese named Wasabi won Best in Show. Also, the American Kennel Club welcomed in four new breeds. The Bewer Terrier, the German Terrier. The Belgian Lekenois, which is a Belgian sheep-herding dog. Lekenois, yeah. The Barbet, that's a French curly-haired poodle-looking thing. And the Dogo Argentino, which is a real interesting dog from Argentina. It looks like a great big white tall pit bull, which has been sort of a popular dog for a long time. It's banned in many countries around the world for its dog aggression and propensity to have problems attacking other dogs and sometimes people, but it is now an officially recognized breed by the American Kennel Club. Now some stories for you. Lobsterman Michael Packard was on a routine dive off the coast of Cape Cod when he claims he felt a bump and then everything went dark. The 56-year-old feared that he was eaten by a shark, but he now claims he was actually eaten by a whale and was inside the whale for about 30 seconds before it spit him out and he was rescued by a crewmate, suffering only bruises. Doctors and experts are skeptical of his story, saying his injuries would be much more serious if he had actually been swallowed by a whale, including hearing loss from the change in water pressure.
They're not buying it.
No. Now, the guy that was on the boat that ended up pulling him back in says that no, there was a humpback whale, and it did actually eat him, swallow him.
I've seen the photo of this guy in his hospital room. I mean, he looks
Does he have whale marks?
Well, he looks like he's been roughed up.
Yeah. Well,
not enough.
Maybe. Yeah, who knows?
And what does that say about you if you're eaten by a whale and the whale rejects you? I mean, the whale throw you back up? I mean, what? How did
you
get back out?
Whales, those type of whales are not carnivorous. So you would wonder why. I mean, well, they are carnivorous, but they don't eat big stuff. They eat plankton, krill.
Okay.
Really small stuff.
How do you get the whale? Did he find the whale's gag reflex? I mean, how did he get back out?
Yeah, would he stick his finger in the back of his throat, make him pull the trigger, and then whale barfed him up?
Yeah.
And I don't know, would the whale have gotten him all the way to his stomach? I mean, are you eaten by the whale if you're only in the whale's mouth, or do you have to be, like, sent all the way down into the stomach?
If you're all the way in the whale, that feels like, you know, you've been eaten by a whale.
Yeah, swallowed. I think you've been eaten by a whale. If you're inside the mouth and he closes the mouth, you're as good as eaten.
So the guy who opens the crocodile's head and sticks his head in it, is he eaten by the crocodile then?
If the crocodile shuts his mouth.
Well, that would just be bitten by
a crocodile. He'd have to be all the way in, right?
Yeah, if he got all the way in.
Like his whole body in the alligator's mouth, close the mouth, close his lips.
Yep.
Jeez.
That's eaten?
This is not a Free Willy sequel I have any interest in seeing.
Well, the problem is there's one other person that believes your story, and it's a whopper. There's no...
Yeah.
I don't think there's any other story of somebody being eaten by a whale.
That was one of the Bible.
This side of the Bible, right. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, unless you're with Jonah.
Jonah.
So he was eaten by a whale. Nobody is buying this story at all. Except this one other guy. You got to keep that guy alive and stay on his good side.
Yeah.
Because he's the only guy that'll vouch for you.
And
his story.
He may have been drunk.
You got to hope to God he wasn't drunk. I don't know. I'd been drinking. Oh, don't say that. Don't tell anybody. Finally, today's stupid criminal is not from Florida.
Why do you have to point that out? Can't you just say he's from blank?
Usually is from Florida.
Okay.
This time from California. Steve Baker of Meadow Vista, California says his wife woke him up around 11 p.m. last Thursday because she heard running water in their home. Baker grabbed his gun, went to check out the upstairs area the sound was coming from, and ran into 25-year-old Carola Tiago Freitas, who was wearing only a towel after having taken a shower. Baker said he asked Tiago Freitas, what are you thinking? The guy broke into his house to take a shower. Asked him that while he was waiting for police, while holding the guy at gunpoint. The guy who broke in replied, I had to. Broken a glass pane out of a door using a ceramic garden gnome to get inside the home.
To take a shower.
To take a shower. So if you're already in the garden, don't you just use the hose? And then maybe you don't break into the person's house and go to jail for that?
Maybe this guy wanted like a loofah.
Wanted some conditioner or something maybe. Wanted really, really,
jeez.
He was really, really dirty.
This is a real commitment to showering here.
Well, don't you like that he comes out in the towel?
Yeah, he takes the time to wrap the towel around himself. He's like looking in the mirror.
Yeah, I broke into these people's houses, but I'm not going to expose them to my, you know, full frontal nudity.
Oh, yes, that kind
of. But he wraps himself in a towel and he's coming down the stairs. Was he going to make coffee or something?
Bizarre.
Breaks into the house to take a shower.
Yeah.
I will say,
you break into, I suppose you break glass to get into a house.
Yeah.
You're like, look, I've already made a ton of noise.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and.
If I'm the homeowner, though, there's a part of it that's like, the guy needed a shower. Nobody's out anything.
But you probably suspect there's something else to the... I mean,
well, here's the thing,
can't just be breaking in to take a shower unless there's some mental illness here or something.
Anytime we talk to Parizic about a crime that happened, maybe it made the news or whatever, or I was reading it on the police blot or whatever, and I ask him... You know, what was the deal with this crime? It's always the same thing. But like, and it's the person was on meth. And I don't even get the whole story out before Parizic is like, yes, guy's on meth. Yeah, there was a guy over on the east side. We had a story. He was pleasuring himself with an air hose. Yeah, that guy's on meth. There was a guy dressed in, as a woman in a mustache, stole all the bananas out of the Aldi. Yeah, that guy smoking crack. He was on meth. He was on meth. It's always the same thing. So you think this guy breaks into your house to take a shower, that's a meth head.
Yeah.
Right? Only a meth head makes a decision like that. So you don't want to fool. You don't fool around with a meth head if you got a gun. I mean, that's why you keep a gun. You got to hold him at gunpoint, call the police, and then say, "What do you think?" And he said, "I just had to take a shower." That's your more, everybody.
2:51 p.m. And up next on the Murph and Andy Show.
Well, memory sent you.
Wrapping up the Murph and Andy Show at 2:57 p.m. Andy Fales, Keith Murphy, and Andrew Downs now with the AD Squared.
It's powered by Fiscus Jewelers in Ankeny, locally owned. Check out Fiscus Jewelers up in Ankeny. And Murph, you made your triumphant return to Sound Off last night after, what, 2 or 3 weeks of not being on the show?
Two weeks.
Is that all?
That's all. Yeah, that was it.
Well, seemed like longer than that, I guess.
Jeez. But
thanks,
I guess.
Yeah, well, everybody was happy to have you back. I saw it all over social media.
Thank you.
Especially after you've been gone for such a long time.
Yeah. As Indianapolis and then Florida.
Except, though, there was one person, and I don't know where you got this feed. I guess you had a camera in your production meeting.
We always do. Yeah, it's a television station, AD.
Mr. Sound Off, John Sears, didn't seem real pleased.
Oh, and some good news. Murph is back for Sound Off tonight.
How is that good news? Sound Off was surging.
Jake, give him the numbers.
Ratings down 8%.
I meant with young people.
Down 12%.
Women 24 to 54.
46%.
Household pets.
Up 3%.
Hey guys, what's up?
The ratings.
Boom.
Yeah, Sears always looking for something that supports his point of view. Quickie poll results from WCI Pools and Spas. Just one quickie poll today.
An important one.
After
a busy weekend of sports.
Yeah, this is definitive.
Let's get to it.
Yeah, what do you call it? 78% say it's a farmer's blow. 18% go with snot rocket.
Wow.
Zero votes for nature blow. And other people call it something else. 4%.
Royal Mile Inbox, Jay Clark writes, okay, I haven't been able to find the actual tweet, but I'm pretty sure we had a deal 7 years ago. I swore my lifetime allegiance to your show and KXNO. In return, you would never play that Ames Water song. I feel betrayed.